This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here at Money, Riches, and Wealth, and here with Tommaso Vincenzo Giuseppe Bonvissuto. Bonbon?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well. It just reminded me, I called Sicily on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah?
I did.
Yeah, what's in Sicily?
My cousins.
Oh, wow. How many do you have there?
Oh, there's a dozen or so.
Oh. You know. And do they speak Italian only, or do they
only
speak
Italian,
American?
Only Italian.
And do you speak Italian?
Enough to get by.
Enough to get by. It must be a very short phone call, though.
Buon Natale.
And they say Buon Natale, and you say Buon Natale, Buon Natale, Buon Natale. That must be a great conversation there, Tom.
It's exciting.
There you go. So we're here on an open show, Tomas.
Yes,
and
sir.
The last show of the year, 2017, is another open show. If you want to call in, direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. There's nobody out there, though, Tom.
Oh, yeah. They're just waiting at home to call.
It's probably so cold out there, they're all sitting at home and thinking, I'm not going out there. I can't wait until New Year's Day when it's supposed to be in the single digits.
I know.
You know?
It's quite chilly.
Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and direct the conversation. But we have plenty to talk about,
People are waiting to hear what you have to say about the tax changes coming up.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the new tax law. And first thing I want to say is that pox on both of their parties, both the Republicans and the Democrats, because the Republicans are lying that this is this great tax law and so forth, beautiful, wonderful, fantastic tax law. Pox on the Democrats for saying that this is a horrible Frankensteinian-type thing, it's going to destroy the country, no little guy's going to get any benefit out of it. I can't tell you how many callers right. I've had call in and saying, oh, this is awful. What am I going to do? All these tax raises going in on me, and this tax law is going to destroy the country. I'm like, what are you hearing? What are you talking about? And then on the other hand, you got these people over here. Oh, this is the greatest thing ever happened. You know, I'm going to really just cut my taxes dramatically. You know, there's truth on a little bit on both sides. So let's talk about what the truth is.
Right.
So let's start with the Republicans. The truth is that they cut corporate income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep in mind that they cut it down to 21%. Multinational corporations' tax rate is about 18%.
Right.
Cutting it to 21% is not necessarily going to help them all that much. They were already paying less than that. But number two, they also are taxing territorial income of multinational corporations. So they're no longer going to be able to take their income to Ireland and say, well, we're only going to pay tax over here because we don't owe tax on this because this is an Irish corporation and so forth. Now a U.S. corporation is going to have to pay some type of territorial tax on money they make outside of the United States, which in essence will probably bring in more tax revenue on a lot of companies than what the tax cut actually did for some of those multinational companies. Now, smaller companies are going to definitely benefit, but you know, it's the smaller companies that tend to do the bulk of the hiring in the United States of America.
That's right.
And it's also those pass-through entities that do the bulk of the hiring in the United States, and they're getting a tax deduction also on the money they're leaving behind. So I'm an S corporation, and at the end of the year, I have to pay taxes on all the money that my S corporation makes, regardless if I actually get that cash or not. So let's say I leave meals and entertainment. I only get a 50% deduction on it. I have to pay taxes on it, even though I didn't get that cash. You know, if we invest in equipment and so forth, and we're paying a loan on a yearly basis, I don't get that cash necessarily, but yet I have to pay taxes on it. You know, there's lots of things, and I might need to leave money behind because I want to be prepared for an unexpected downturn in the markets, and I leave cash behind. That cash I have to pay taxes on, even though I don't take that cash out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
This tax pass-through law that they got, that they came up with, allows me to deduct that money that I'm leaving behind in the business because I don't actually get the benefit of it. And that will bring my tax rate down on my business taxable income in line with what multinational corporations are now going to be paying on their tax liability.
Yep.
So it tends to, there is some logic behind what the Republicans did.
Right.
But they also complicated things also greatly in the business world, especially. I was with my brother-in-law, who's a corporate tax guy. He's an international corporate tax guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, what we have to do now is just unbelievable, the complexity that's been added to the tax law for us. And he said, he said he's not looking forward to it, and he's glad that he's only a few years away from retirement.
Right, right. Maybe he'll retire early.
But from an individual point of view, this new tax law from the Republicans' point of view did nothing more than take a stupid tax law and reshuffle some things around and say, here's this great new tax law. Well, there's no truth to that whatsoever.
Yep.
They just shuffled some chairs around on the deck of the Titanic, in my opinion.
Well, and it's going to help a lot, several people. I mean, you looked at a lot of returns where it does help people.
Well, there's no doubt that a lot of people under $500,000 are going to pay less in taxes, not more, on this new tax law. There is no doubt about that. But it's going to, it's not a dramatic change in the tax law. It's a dramatic shifting around of who gets the deductions and who don't get the deductions. And in many ways, the Democrats are right. There are a lot of business owners that are going into lower tax brackets. Not me, because I'm a I'm what's considered a service business. I don't get that break at all. It's only people like contractors, retailers, restaurateurs, you know, somebody who runs a manufacturing company. They're the people that are getting the deduction for this new tax law, not me. So anyway, Steve, Tom, and the other caller, if you'll hold on, we'll take you right after we come back from this pause with traffic, and then we'll get with your questions. Right now, we're going to go to traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Many of you listened to our show for years and thought about coming to meet with us. With every financial physical I do, I wish you would not wait any longer. The mistakes I consistently see are frustrating. I make this offer. Just do a financial physical, and we'll do the complete analysis in two meetings, and you get to go home with the full plan to determine if the physical was worth the cost. If not, absolutely no charge. We do not sell products. We are comprehensive advisors. If your personal finances are in good shape and we add no value, then the financial physical is free. Do not wait. Get a second opinion and just do a financial physical. I am confident you are going to experience something unique and change your tax plan, your retirement plan, your investments, and much more. Call 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE to schedule your physical. Or go online to DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. All right, we're back. We're going to talk with Steve in Pikesville, and we'll see what we can do. Steve, how can we help you?
Hi, how are you? I am actually quite super excited about this tax law because, according to what I, for me, it's going to work out quite well. What I have two questions. One is about the 529 extension. My understanding is the 529 extension, K-12. Has to be adopted by the state of Maryland for the state of tax exemption. It's not necessarily automatic that they'll will extend that to that group of. And my other question.
But I would expect them to do it. But you're right; they do have to accept it, and it's only for $10,000 too.
Well, the five. Well, it's five. Well, up to $10,000, but you can get the state tax exemption only for $2,500. Per beneficiary, per account holder. So if you have more than, for both parents, you can, it can add up, you know, if someone's paying 8% would be $400.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It adds up, especially if you're have multiple children in religious schools or whatever.
You're absolutely right. We're encouraging our clients to be careful.
What is the process to advocate for that? Is that a regulatory? Is that a legislature thing?
It would be a legislature thing. So you'd want to talk to your local representatives and your local senator and or the senator, you know, and so forth, and ask them to, you know, make sure that gets added into the Maryland law. And that's a big issue for well, we're going to talk about that in a little while. Maryland's got a problem with HSAs, health savings accounts, but we'll talk about that later. But, yes, if you want the K through 12, Maryland legislatures. All right, Steve?
Can I ask you one other quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard that there was a loophole built into the law for right now you can only do up to $10,000 of property in state taxes to deduct. But there was a loophole built in that was upheld previously in court that there's something called a SALT where you can pay your taxes or your property tax, something through this through a not-for-profit who then will pay your bill, and you can then get you write it off as a charitable deduction. Are you familiar with this?
Never heard of it, and I can't imagine that the two-step transaction would not be negated by the IRS. There's numerous things.
It was upheld in court.
I can't imagine it could be because, you know, to give a contribution to a charity that they have to do something with the money would be very complicated to get a deduction for it. But I'll have to look into it. I'll tell you what, I'll look into it and see if I can come up with anything to validate it. All right?
I think it was called a SALT, S-A-L-T.
Well, SALT just stands for state and local income taxes. So, but I'll look into that. I'll consider it. All right, charity.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Well, take care. We're going to Tom in Towson. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. My mom, elderly and somewhat disabled, has hired a helper in the house to help her feed her and
just
know,
an individual,
around.
Right?
So the whole question to you guys is. The difference between an independent contractor and an employee. What are the things?
Well, let me ask you this question, Tom.
In order to decide that.
Let me ask you a question. Is just an individual coming in her house?
That's correct.
And she's a household employee subject to Schedule H W-2 income, and your mother has to pay half of her Social Security, half of her FICA taxes. And I would strongly recommend your mother get a workers' comp policy.
So if the person gets injured in the house.
Absolutely. That's more important to me than even the Schedule H. You can, you know, most people ignore the IRS, unfortunately. That's not the law. The law is you're supposed to file Schedule H. It's W-2 income to that individual, half of your FICA taxes. There is no option for a 1099. That is not the IRS law. The law is Schedule H, W-2 wage income. You're subject to half of the income taxes and the unemployment taxes to the state and federal government by the end of the year and get a workers' comp policy.
Wow. So someone's homeowner policy, you know, like someone slips and falls.
I'm going to assume, Tom, you're paying her. Tom, I'm assuming you're paying her a lot more than $1,000 a quarter.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, once you go over $1,000 a quarter, most homeowners policies, there's an exceptions I've seen, Encompass is one of them, that do not cover casual labor beyond $1,000 a quarter, and you have to get a workers' comp policy. And to me, this is far more important than the W-2 or 1099 issue. Workers' comp will ruin you. But the IRS isn't extremely aggressive on this individual working in the house, household employee issue, because a lot of the people that are working are illegal aliens. You know,
the independent contractor versus employee issue?
Because the lady or person that's working with your mom may be an illegal alien in this country, so they're not going to want you to file a W-2. You're going to lose them if you tell them you're going to pay taxes on them. But I'll tell you this: if you have an illegal alien that's taking money under the table and they get hurt, they go to workers' comp court in Maryland. They're protected by the workers' comp court in Maryland. They can go back to their country, collect all the money from the state of Maryland, and Maryland will sue your mother for the money they're sending back to the country that person came from.
Now, this worker actually happens to be a naturalized U.S. citizen.
Oh, that's good.
Has worked, she says, has worked for other people and gotten 1099s and not W-2s, and we're sort of...
the law is very clear. Unless she is a corporation or an LLC.
No, definitely not.
If she's not, she's a Schedule H employee, W-2 wages. That's the law. And if she were wise, that's what she should insist on people if she's going to do it right. Because you'll pay half of her FICA taxes, you know? Now, she may be...
the worker should insist on that.
Well, I would say so, because unless she's out there deducting a lot of things on her tax return for that 1099 income, she should insist on a W-2 wage, because you're going to pay half of her FICA taxes.
And FICA, and what else did you say?
Unemployment taxes. So if she gets laid off by you or anybody else, then she can go to the workers' comp, to unemployment and say, hey, I lost my job at Tom's house, and they'll pay her, unemployment wages too.
Now, I know my mom's never done this kind of thing before. Is this something you could kind of assist us through?
Well, it's something that any accountant whoever does their taxes should know how to do it, and if not, we can definitely do it for you.
Okay. Most important thing, get that on workers' comp.
Workers' comp is the most critical issue, because that could bankrupt your mother easily.
Wow. You got it.
All right, buddy. You take care. Bye. And we're going to Jeff in Severn. Jeff, how can we help you?
Yes. I also had a question about the 529 accounts for K-12 education. And I've got lots of questions about it. Is this something that we can start all the way in January?
If you don't start it, if you don't get it in by the end of this week, you can't take the $2,500 per person per child deduction on your Maryland state income tax return. That's the only negative if you don't get it in.
When can we start using the accounts to pay for education?
You can use it like
education.
Well, a lot of times, Jeff, if you have a child, do you have a child in K-12 in private school?
Three.
Yeah, so you could do what we normally recommend to our clients is put $5,000 in the account in December, put another $5,000 in January, and you can take it back out two weeks later if you have the bills to show that you paid. And you can only take $10,000 out per year, but as long as you got the bills to show you paid, you can take the money right back out of the account that quickly.
But
Tom does this all the time, don't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's for K-12. You're talking about the $10,000 limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff, what else?
So you're saying that it's already been the law that you can use the 529 for K-12
No. Tuition? No, K-12 starts next year.
As in January 1st?
January 1st, but I could put the money in 2017 and then withdraw it in 2018 for K-12. But like the other guy said, you just have to make sure that Maryland has approved that you can take it out for K-12.
You can get the deduction for 17.
Right. And so it's good to use the Maryland plan if you want to take the Maryland state.
You don't want to use any other plan but the Maryland plan, because the Maryland plan is considered one of the top five in the country. And you get the Maryland income tax deduction. It's a slam dunk decision for anybody who lives in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Unless Maryland says that you can't use it for K-12.
Unless Maryland says, but if you can't use it for K-12, what grade are your kids in, Jeff?
Elementary school and middle school.
Okay, so your problem is that you don't make any money on a 529 plan until the account grows. And so if you don't have a lot of time for the account to grow, you're not going to get a lot of benefit out of the 529 plan, right? Because the 529,
if I can pay my tuition, tuition without tax.
No, Jeff, you don't get a federal income tax deduction for a 529 contribution. Do you realize that?
No.
Jeff, let me explain to you real quick, okay? So I put $5,000 in a 529 plan. I do not get a federal income tax deduction. I might get a state of Maryland income tax deduction up to $5,000, but I don't get a federal one. The only thing I'm going to get from the Fed is if that $5,000 grows to $6,000, that $1,000 that I make gets tax-free.
Okay.
So that's the only thing I'm benefiting. So unless you have time for a 529 to grow, there's no benefit of doing a 529 for K through 12 unless you can get this Maryland state income tax deduction also.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. We got to go to traffic. We'll be right back with your questions, Money, Rich, and Wealth. Oh. A similar song, not the same. That's the same guy at the... who
James
is that?
Taylor.
James Taylor, right? Yeah, I see. I knew that all along. I thought it was the same song we close with. But it's similar, not the same. All the songs sounded exactly alike. Anyway, we're here on Open Show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call and ask questions. A lot of tax law questions coming in. One thing I do want to make clear, and that is to everybody out there paying their property taxes early, and I've been saying this since the beginning, everybody kept saying this, is that if you don't actually owe the tax, you can't prepay it and take it off on your 2017 taxes. And I kept being told, no, that's not true, that's not true. And I even had a good CPA friend of mine show me an article that said a cash basis taxpayer can prepay a tax bill 12 months in advance, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the IRS just issued a statement at 5 o'clock this afternoon that I just picked up, and it said that if you prepay taxes for 2018-2019 that weren't assessed in 2017, they're not going to let you deduct them. Now, will they be able to figure that out on somebody's tax return?
Right.
That's a whole different question. Mm. And are they going to go after a million and more taxpayers who have done this? Because if I just by the indication of what's happened in my client base, and I've told them, you know, hey, it doesn't hurt to prepay it if they don't deduct it. So what? You're not going to get the deduction next year anyway. So go ahead and do it. Except one thing, Tom, and that's if you look at your 1040 tax return and you see a number in line 45. Now, remember that number, line 45, AMT, alternative minimum tax. Yeah. If there's a number in that block next to line 45, alternative minimum tax, do not waste your time trying to prepay your taxes. It makes no difference whatsoever. So two things to think about. Line 45's got a number in it. Don't waste your time. And even if it doesn't have it, don't expect that you're going to get a deduction, but it's better to just go ahead and do it and try to deduct it, because if you do get the deduction and nobody challenges you on it, it's more beneficial to you than to wait till next year and know you're not going to get the deduction anyway. So just don't tell your accountant that you're prepaid it, you know? Just say, these are the taxes I paid last year. Anyway, we're going to Bob in Pasadena. Bob, how can we help you?
Hello, Drew. I fall in for I'm interested in the taxes for 2017, and I fall in a 15% bracket.
Okay.
I'm just in the borderline, and I'm interested in getting the zero dividends.
Right.
And zero capital gains.
Okay.
But what I want to do is sell a bunch of my other stocks that would put me above that $75,900.
Yeah, but you see, Steve, Bob, this is a common misnomer by people, okay? So let's say the level is $75,000 even, that you stay in the 15% bracket, which will give you 0% capital gains for dividends and so forth. And let's say your tax income, adjusted gross income, came out to $76,000. You think to yourself, gosh, I just got, I just blew it. I'm $1,000 over $75,000. But you see, that's not the way it works. It's not like that hard break that you get to 75 and all of a sudden all your capital gains become taxable. So let me give you this example. I got 50,000 of income normal from Social Security and other things that aren't subject to that 0% tax bracket. The next $26,000, okay, is all capital gains and dividends. 25 of it will be 0% tax bracket. Only $1,000, Bob, will be subject to the 15% capital gains rate. Did the light bulb go off for you?
Not quite, because what I was planning on doing is selling a bunch of my long-term capital gains stocks.
And but what's your income otherwise? What's your income normally?
Well,
is it 20, 50, 40, 30, 90?
Well, I'm talking about my tax.
Yeah. What's your tax? What's your normal tax?
Taxable income is about $75,000.
From pensions and interest and other things?
Yeah.
Not capital gains and dividends?
Yeah, but I wanted to sell a lot of the capital gain to put them in a higher basis category. I wanted to sell them and then buy them back the next day.
Right. Do you contribute to charity much?
Yes, but not through stocks.
Well, but you know, that's a good way to get your bases increased is by giving your stocks to charity and buying it back with the cash you would have normally given the charity.
Well.
But anyway, the point of the matter is, Bob, if your income is already at 75, not including your dividends and capital gains, then, yes, your capital gains are going to get hit to that 15% rate. And unless I know exactly where your income's coming from, I can't tell you what strategies you may be able to use to get your income down below that 75,000 level.
Well, I know that if I sell a bunch of my other stocks, it'll put me well above that 75,000.
But you know, why do you want to sell them just to try to adjust your bases up? The best way to do that is through charity, if you're charitably minded.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you know, since you're charitably minded to some degree, just keep contributing them. But you know, if you hold those stocks until the day you die, that's 100% tax-free to whoever inherits them anyway. So if you intend to hold these long term, you're best not to worry about adjusting your bases unless you know you can get them in at the 0% tax bracket.
You say that they're 100% tax-free to my benefactor.
Your heirs, right. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're married, obviously, because you're talking $75,000. So if you had all those stocks in your name only, and then you pass away, your wife inherits them 100% tax-free from that day forward.
Yeah, but the kids don't inherit them.
Yeah, well, if your wife passes away and leaves them to the kids, they go 100% tax-free to the kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? What?
Because that's the tax
the
law. That's called the step-up in tax basis, my friend.
Oh, even for long-term gains. Okay.
Long-term gains. As long as you're not worth, like, $10 million, everything you got tax-free, I mean, everything you've got in a capital gain is likely going to go to your children and grandchildren or whoever else you leave them to. You could even leave them to Tom and I tax-free.
Our compliance officer wouldn't allow that.
He wouldn't allow that, but you could leave it to anybody you leave that to. They get a step-up in cost basis, 100% tax-free. So there's two strategies you should think about before you worry about trying to get it into the 0% capital gains rate unless you know you can get your income down below that 75,000 level. All right, Bob?
Drew. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right.
That's a good question. I mean, I wish I saw the numbers. I wish I could see the numbers. Yep. That would be really exciting. Gene in Columbia, how can we help you?
I think Bob needs to sit down with you guys because it sounds like he's going to make a mistake.
It sounds like he needs a good tax man. That's what he needs.
And a planner.
I want to talk about some things in a new tax law that I haven't heard about. I've been following it kind of every day, every other day. Number one, they're doing away with all the personal exemptions, correct?
Yes, personal exemptions are gone, but there are some exceptions, and there are some helping things, but go ahead.
Well, the other thing is, now, was there a child tax credit before, or have they simply increased it?
They increased it from $1,000 to $2,000.
Okay.
And
regardless of whether you had an exemption too?
That's irregardless of whether you had an exemption, but your income had to be below 110,000 married, and I think it was like 60 or so single. Now it's up to 200 some thousand single, 400,000 married.
Okay. Here's the other question. Is there any, in the past, is there any age limit on a child? What do they consider a child?
A child was had to be under 17 years of age to get the $2,000 credit or the $1,000 in current law.
Now, under the current law that we have for three more days, if you had a dependent,
right,
that you say somebody who's a special needs person.
Okay.
And they live, a family member, you're supporting more than 50% of their care, you could claim them as a personal exemption.
You could claim them as a personal exemption.
What happens now?
Now, wait a minute. You can only claim them as a personal exemption as long as they had no more than $4,300 of $4,100 of taxable income.
Okay.
So now what happens now is if your child or your dependent is over 17 years of age, and we don't know what the income limitation is, but there's now a $500 tax credit if your income is under 200,000 single and 400,000 married. And it's phased out at those ages, not at those incomes, I'm sorry, at not just automatically you're out of the ballgame.
And my last question was...
And now, wait a minute. Listen, that $500 credit is worth more to the average person than the exemption was under the previous law.
Yeah, because it's a credit.
Yeah, but also because the alternative minimum tax would wipe out your exemptions, and if your income was up in those $400,000, you were going to lose it either through the AMT or through the exemption phase-out.
Now, in the current system that we have until the end of the year, there used to be some little perks for if you were elderly or let's say, blind or disabled.
None of those have been taken away.
So what did they do? If, in other words, if you want the standard deduction, there's a little bump up for those who are over 65.
Well, no, you know, that's an interesting question. I did not look at that yet. I have not seen, I don't think there's anything extra for 65, but whether the disabled get something, but there is a credit for certain elderly and disabled that still get the credit. Now, that's a whole law in itself, and I've rarely ever used it, but it's still out there. They didn't take it away. But do you get an extra deduction for the exemption? I mean, for the elderly, and that is an extra standard deduction. I don't think so, but I have to run now.
Thank you.
All right. Right, we do need to take our last break, so go ahead. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. One of the missions of our company is to create a model of the professional advisory firm. We do the radio show to demonstrate what we believe a true professional should be. Your financial advisor should be able to demonstrate the same depth of personal financial knowledge as we do on our radio show. If not, then you need a new advisor. For investments can easily be duplicated, but comprehensive knowledge takes years of learning and experience. We trademarked the financial physical in 1990 and have been building this model for 27 years. If you wonder if we are different, then just do a financial physical and see for yourself. The complete plan is free to you if our comprehensive planning does not prove to be overwhelmingly beneficial. This is how confident we are. Call 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE to learn more or go online at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com.
All
right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Bob, and just in case you're still listening, yes, they did keep that. If you're a senior over 65 or blind, you get an extra $1,300 per joint filer, so that's $2,600 extra.
Right.
And if you're single, you get $1,600 more. You know, many articles as I've read, they hadn't addressed that. So he's absolutely right.
Yep.
What? No, it was Gene. Who was? We
was,
were talking
Gene.
To Gene,
the last
not
one was
Bob.
Gene. But everybody, last, Bob wants to know
Bob
about it,
Bob wants
too.
To know it, too. But if Gene's still listening, that was the answer to your question. Good question, because I actually, as I say, I've read over and over and over these different tax laws. No one really addressed that, but yet it is supposedly in there, an extra deduction.
Yep.
And it sounds like they just kept it. They didn't change it. They just kept it.
Right, right.
Anyway, we're going to Oscar in Owings Mills. How can we help you?
Hey, real quick,
What was that again? This 2600, and then I'll come to my question. What was that about?
So, you know, if you're over 65, your standard deduction was increased as a married couple or a single filer. You got a little extra standard deduction. Well, the new law says the married couple get $24,000, but if you're over 65 and each of the married couples that's over 65 gets an extra $1,300. So if you're both over 65, you'll actually get $2,600 more. So your standard deduction will be $26,600.
Wow. Hey, thanks, because I qualify for over 65, two of us. Okay. My question, well, that's beautiful, I'm on the Maryland...
Well, Trump said it was going to be a beautiful tax law, so you're absolutely right, Oscar. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry.
I'm on the Maryland County, the Baltimore County site for property taxes, and I've already paid through the middle of 17, you know, because the bill came earlier this year. I'm sorry, I paid through the middle of
18.
Yeah. Right.
The middle of 18, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, but prepaying for the next year, I don't see anywhere here my bill on that. Is that, you know, how could I prepay 18, 19?
Well, what the counties are saying, this is what they're saying, is if you want to prepay 18, take your 2017 taxes and just pay those. And whatever you pay, they will adjust, either send you in a bill for an additional amount if there is more when they actually assess it, or they will send you a refund if you sent more in for 2018. That's what they're saying in most of the places I've talked to. But, you know, the only way they can do that is when they actually assess it, but that's not until April of 2018 is when most states or counties are going to actually do the assessment. So that's what they're saying, is just send your same 2017 in for 18. But as I said earlier, realize that the IRS says no deduction from our point of view, but my opinion is go ahead and pay it. If you take the deduction and they don't challenge you within 3 years, it's good as gold.
I see. Now, I don't see on the site here, a way that I could pay it. I guess I could
most
walk
of them,
the office there and give them a check. Would they take it?
Oh, absolutely. But most of them do have online payment. As a matter of fact, I just sent one to a client for a Virginia county. Most of them have an online payment system, but I find it amazing that the one you're on doesn't have it.
Well, it's Baltimore County, and I've done online for this year for the middle of the
year. You know, actually, I got that. If you hold on 1 second,
I don't see a way to make another payment.
I had an accountant send me something on this just a little. Where the heck did I put that, Tom?
I'm not sure.
Where did I put that? I know where I put it, I think. Let me see if I know where I put it. Oh, I know where I put it. Ah, I know where I put it now. There it is. It's got to be here. There it is. All right, let's see. What's he say? In Baltimore County. Attempt to download page. Da, 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 da. Baltimore County. Please complete all the information. Advance payment authorization form. Please complete all the information required in order for the Office of Budget and Finance to apply future payments towards next year's real property tax. So Baltimore obviously wants this form signed and sent in with your payment.
So it's called the Advance Payment Authorization Form.
Yep. Tell you what, I'll send you this form if you want it. You tell me your email address if you want to tell me over the air.
You can tell our producer Chris, and he can
tell your producer Chris, and I can send it to you.
Okay.
All right, put you on hold, and you get that to him, and I'll send this form to you. Okay.
Marvelous.
All right. Take care, Oscar.
All right.
Thank you.
We're almost out. I didn't hit that. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm okay now. I'm okay. You're okay.
Chris has got us.
We're almost out of time, but one more thing. I want to just scream at, you know, I'm amazed at how many people actually listen to our show, Tom.
Yep, yep.
But, you know, there are probably some state legislatures, state senators out there for Maryland.
HSA.
And I want to just say to you Maryland state senators and Maryland state legislators out there, or people that know them, you better get this health savings account issue rectified with the state, with the federal government, because there are going to be a lot of Marylanders that are going to be hurt because you have not fixed this health savings account issue. It is critical that you fix this before January 1st. And if you can't, you better make sure it's retroactive to January 1st. Anyway, get it fixed. It is critical. Maryland state legislators, Maryland state senators, get it fixed. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we're out of time for 2017, Thomas. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.